All right, so I have to do a follow-up for my last episode because things are just getting so, so wild with all these AI tools. I want to be of service to the medical illustration community, and I think if I convey the wrong message, I would be doing a disservice to the community. I purposely made the image for this episode to serve as kind of like an opposite to the previous one because I don't like the thought of acting like I was taking sides on this debate with AI. You know, I actually don't want to take sides. I think that's silly because, you know, it's like taking a stance for the weather, you know, two or four. It is what it is. You know, it's the time we're in right now. I was recently speaking with Matthias Omotola from Maxon. Definitely check out his book if you get a chance, by the way, Five Things They Don't Teach You in School. It's really good. And he pointed out to me, if you look at when Midjourney became publicly available, that was like over the past summer. When ChatGPT went public, that was only November of 2022. The earliest public release of these AI tools, I think, was DALL-E, which was in April of 2022. That means that as of this episode's release, we are still in year zero. That is insane. You know, there've been so many announcements about new AI tools coming out that it's just really hard to keep up. You know, many of these stories have been less about the AI art generators like Midjourney and DALL-E and more about ChatGPT and its spinoffs. You know, you've got Google and Microsoft announcing AI integration into their whole suite of office tools like Google Docs and Office 365. NVIDIA just made several new announcements. Adobe is entering the mix. I can't possibly cover everything in this episode, but I'm going to share a few highlights. I've been using ChatGPT recently just to see, you know, what it can do. This is the text-based AI language learning model. I think most listeners are aware of at this point, but just for the record, you know, the way it works, you type in anything really, and it's just going to, you know, attempt to respond in a meaningful way. You know, you can prompt it to write an essay for you, whatever you specify. You know, people are using it to draft emails. You can customize the tone of voice, the education level of your intended recipient, all sorts of stuff. It's crazy. And people are also using it to write code. I tried to use it specifically for that, but unfortunately, I haven't gotten anything working just yet. I think you kind of have to know a little bit, you know, more about coding to be able to spot errors and understand what it's getting wrong. But the newest version, ChatGPT, GPT-4, just dropped, and there was a post that went viral of this guy who used it to make a website based off a sketch he did on a napkin. So that's pretty intense, you know, how fast it's improving. And I hope it does get better. I want to write these programming scripts, you know. I'm sure it will get better very soon. And in the meantime, I've been using it to draft emails, you know, generate ideas, even write little quick tutorials for myself on software. And I have to admit, you know, I've been having a lot of fun. It's kind of cool. After I released my last episode on the podcast, I kind of immediately regretted my choice for that promo image because I didn't want to take that hard anti-stance. And I apologize if it came off that way. I definitely went on maybe a few rants there, but I was coming off the news of some really awful experiences that some artists have been going through. And like specifically, this one artist, you got to follow his account because he's really good. Sam Does Art. He's a Toronto-based artist, really great illustrations. And people decided to go after this guy because, you know, he was saying that he didn't like the AI art generation and stuff. And so they decided to just churn out all these images using his style as a prompt just to be bogus, just to like give him a hard time. And I mean, these tools are really powerful. And in the hands of some internet trolls, we're seeing some really nasty trolling. You know, again, it's humans are just going to do, you know, stuff like this. But where my sort of take-home message in that last episode came from was kind of responding to that. And I don't think, because I don't think you can compare the skill level of someone like Sam Yang, who clearly is very skilled. I mean, he does these beautiful illustrations with full backgrounds. I mean, he's doing like he's painting reflections on cars and stuff. It's crazy good stuff. And to say that the skill he has doesn't matter anymore because some AI art LARPer can imitate him, I think that's BS. You know, come on. There's always going to be trolls, of course, you know, and people who use powerful tools to cause damage. We can't control that. But I also think it's a little unfair to blame the tools for the actions of jerks, you know, including if those jerks were the people who designed the tool or built the tool. A lot of people are unhappy at how the images for these AI art generation tools were scraped from the internet without artist consent. This has become a very big issue, and it is clearly a bogus move and a dumb move by these companies. You know, if they had thought ahead, of course they're going to get in trouble for that. We should note that, yeah, there are some serious lawsuits underway. In particular, Getty Images is suing, and they might have a really strong case. I mean, because some of the images that AI art tools have produced, they have the Getty watermark show up on them. I mean, that's going to be really hard for them to prove that they didn't, like, take all these images without permission. I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble there. A lot of medical illustrators I know, and I deeply respect, are looking into the copyright ramifications. I don't know where this is going to go, man, but it's really, it's already so powerful. You kind of can't tell anyone not to use these tools. It's just more like, well, how are we going to use them in a way that's responsible? You know, where are we going to put our focus? So I saw a video recently with Dr. Li Jiang from the Stanford AIR program, which is artificial intelligence, robotics, and education. And this video really gave me pause. I thought this guy had such an enlightened perspective. You know, his focus is thinking about how AI is going to impact children's education. You know, another comment Matthias made was, if you think about how much kids spend time with their smartphones already, it's not unreasonable to conclude that they're going to actually spend more time with AI than they will with their parents. You know, it might be kind of scary, but it's kind of true, right? I mean, so this video with Dr. Jiang from Stanford, I shared it with everyone I know because I think this guy kind of nails it, and you should definitely watch it. I'll include a link in the show notes. And I love my niece's response to this video. I sent this to my 16-year-old niece, and she said, you know, it's really refreshing to hear someone advocate for responsible AI use rather than only focusing on the potential for harm. And that kind of resonated with me. You know, not everyone using AI is being bogus about it. You know, there's several examples of people doing incredible work, and admirably so. A friend of mine who teaches traditional figure drawing sent me an account on Instagram to check out. It's an artist by the name of Fabio Camparelli, and I'll put a link to his account in the show notes. He has some beautiful animated videos that are absolutely phenomenal. The Evolution of Warfare from Stones to Atoms, that was the piece that my friend had originally sent me. And then there's another one, The Evolution of Visual Expression, A Tale of Art and Technology. These are undeniably poignant and undeniably reliant on AI tools. It could only have been made that way. I mean, by hand, I don't even know if these would have been possible. So I was reading through some of his comments and like what he put as the, you know, the text portion of those posts. And so I want to share a little bit from his post on the Tale of Art and Technology. And I'm just going to paraphrase here, but he says, the integration of AI into the art world can be controversial, but, you know, with some expressing concern that may threaten the livelihood of traditional artists. However, it's important to remember that the use of AI in art is simply a new form of artistic expression, one that can coexist alongside and complement more traditional forms of art. So rather than viewing AI as a threat, we should embrace it as a new medium for creativity and self-expression. Just as the invention of the printing press did not replace the art of handwriting, the incorporation of AI into the art world does not diminish traditional art. In fact, the use of AI can actually provide new opportunities for collaboration and experimentation. It allows artists to explore new mediums and techniques and push the boundaries of what was previously thought possible. So rather than fear the evolution of AI in art, let's embrace it as a chance to innovate and grow. It's an exciting time to be a part of the art world, and the incorporation of AI only adds to the endless possibilities for creation and expression. So, I really found, you know, that point of view. There's merit there. I understand where he's coming from. And I actually found the comments section of these posts to be a great venue for discussion, you know, like, because a lot of people are talking about pointing out the objection is not necessarily to the tool itself, but to the way the tools were made and by taking this artwork without consent. Well, Fabio responds to that. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He says, look, I know color theory and composition and the knowledge that goes into all these things. I have studied these things in my career. It's true that today it can be disconcerting to see how easy it is for anyone to create beautiful images. And that's why I use it in animation, because it's more complicated and interesting. If you think that my animations are easy to do, you know, like I'm just pressing a button here, like no, man, it's the result of a lot of long hours learning multiple software tools. I'm not just using one, you know, there's a lot of trial and error, etc. The AI doesn't have that intelligence to do all of that just yet. It only offers us a random result, and then the artist has to guide it to create something more coherent. The truth is a lot of people are overwhelmed and just lazy about all this. They prefer to criticize instead of getting out there and getting out of their comfort zone. You know, similarly, the way a director leads his actor through a film, you know, they made the creative decisions about the structure and the arrangement. Even if the actors are good, if the director is bad or they have no vision or no taste, then the resulting film is going to be bad. You know, the process of creating animations with AI involves a lot of creativity and decision making, just like how traditional artists choose their color palettes and brushstrokes. Plus, the final result is often just as unpredictable and unique as traditional art. The emotional impact of art isn't tied to the medium or the process used to create it. The emotional connection the viewer feels to the art is what makes it real art, regardless of how it was created. And AI-generated art can definitely evoke emotions and create connections with the viewer, just like traditional art can. Okay, so, you know, he makes some good points there. And following along with this train of thought, a piece in particular that's gained a lot of traction that if you haven't seen it, you definitely have to check this out. It's called Anime Rock Paper Scissors by Corridor Digital. I mean, this is an impressive technical feat accomplished in an impressively short timeline with a small team. You got to give props where props are due. These guys posted a ton of behind the scenes breakdowns as well, which is really awesome for them to just be openly sharing like how they made everything. And from what I'm seeing here, I'm satisfied they put a lot of time and ingenuity into this work. You know, they're problem solving, they're creating original assets. I don't think they took anything away from anyone. You know, they're very transparent about their process. And now I do take issue with one term they used in their behind the scenes videos, which other people give them kind of a hard time for as well. And I've heard other people use this from, you know, it's used a lot lately in regards to the AI tools. Like it was used in this Unreal Engine presentation for the MetaHuman project. It's this democratizing art production. You know, I'm sorry, I just really dislike this term because I think people are confusing democracy and capitalism. I don't like people trying to make the argument that it's somehow like everyone is behind this decision, because that's like kind of the opposite of what everyone has observed and is saying about all the artwork being taken without permission. So it's kind of like some 1984 doublespeak here by referring to this stuff as democratized. Like it's actually the opposite. But, you know, these examples I've mentioned, they also got me thinking that, you know, maybe AI art tools are bringing an end to, well, not just the art tools, just all the AI tools in general. They're bringing an end to the specialist era. You know, this has been a common piece of advice in recent times, to not be too spread out. You know, pick one thing and just do that really well. Well, if you're like me and you're a generalist because you have problems committing to just one thing, you're just too scatterbrained, or you have too many interests, you know, in life that you always want to like just taste a little sample of everything. Well, now AI can help us follow through on more of those inspired thoughts, many of which only come about when you try to build something and you can't get past a certain step and you have to switch gears. You know, there's these moments where it's great to know you have a new option, you know, so you can ride the momentum of your creativity and not get tangled up in execution logistics. Circling back to the ethical issues with AI, well, there's news that has just dropped from Adobe that they've announced their own AI image generator, Firefly. It's in beta right now. It's not publicly available yet, but they're saying that the data set they used, it's based on Adobe stock and Creative Commons images. So all the permissions have been cleared. And they've also said that future submissions to the data set will be compensated. So this is promising. You know, and unfortunately, if it doesn't work as the other tools, though, if it's not as good, I think people will find an excuse to put their morals aside and they'll just go with whatever gives them the best results. But at least companies are listening, right? Like they're paying attention and they're, you know, they're trying to address this. But morality is a separate beast from legality. And career creatives like medical illustrators, we need to know what's going to happen with the copyright on these images. The time investment on medically and scientifically accurate images is much higher than for concept art. And for our field, image copyright carries more weight, and the ability to license work that we own the copyright to is a cornerstone of being able to financially survive. So as I've mentioned, there are currently some major lawsuits underway, and as slow as the government moves compared to tech, the outcomes of those trials are for sure going to impact how we use AI tools in our field, because many of our clients have to abide by government regulations and they don't want to be anywhere near anything that's risky of lawsuits. You know, for example, hospitals, pharma, yeah, they don't want to mess with that. So it matters quite a bit to our livelihood what's going to happen with these cases. There was recently a major decision passed down in late February on a comic called Zarya of the Dawn, because the creator, Chris Castanova, used AI to generate the images for the comic. They wrote the story themselves and compiled the comic as a final work. The U.S. Copyright Office granted Castanova authorship of the text, as well as the selection, coordination, and arrangement of the work's written and visual elements, but not the images themselves, since those were made with AI. So it seems like this does offer an avenue for copywriting AI as a sort of collective body of work. But things are still happening in the legal space, and I'm sure this is going to be long from over. So the U.S. Copyright Office is going to hold another public inquiry, another public open session into generative AI on May 2nd, 2023. And I'll encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast to sign up for that. I'll put a link in the show notes for sure. And this is the business side of the profession, and knowledge is power. I know this is kind of like overwhelming, all this stuff, but we have to keep up with this. I've already signed up for the session for sure, and I'll try to release an episode a little bit afterwards, with some details. I'll include a few helpful links in this episode's show notes.
Also, just yesterday, a petition was signed by over 1,000 people, including AI experts and industry leaders, to call for like a 6-month pause in AI production so that appropriate safety protocols can be developed. That seems like a little late to the party. I don't know how they plan to implement or enforce that, or even if it's a good idea. I mean, if other world powers just continue to develop their own AI tools. But, I think it reflects the sentiments of many people right now, so I understand it.
All right, so what should we do? What should we do? Honestly, I don't know. But I think Dr. Jiang from Stanford makes a really strong argument that you need to know what these tools can do. So you have to engage at some level. I might be wrong, but thus far, my plan has been to think about the experiences where I've seen the most success in my career, where I've seen my colleagues and people I admire have the most success, and there's definitely a recurring theme.
Well, several reoccurring themes, actually. The first is dedication to digging deep into a topic or on a project and sticking with it until you generate a result with impact. The willingness to dig deep is closely tied with our scientific experimental side. There's a few medical illustrators I've seen posting AI art images, and in my opinion, they're a different flavor than what I see other people posting using the same tools. These people are those who know how to utilize powerful tools to get better than average results. The discipline it takes to push an image to higher levels of quality and refinement, and the drive to do so, is a part of our artistic side that these tools don't possess unto themselves. It's the input from the user that's pushing and steering what these tools do. The other is human connection.
Working with others, prioritizing the needs of your team, ensuring that everyone has a voice and knows they're being heard, treating people with respect and making sure they know they are valued. Treat your social network like a community, because it is. Your personal social sphere is the community you're in charge of. Build a healthy community. I know that might sound uncomfortable to the more introverted members of my audience, but when it comes to AI, we're all entering uncomfortable times ahead.
There are several great ways for people in the medical and scientific image-making spheres to connect with others. The Association of Medical Illustrators is a perfect example. The AMI Members Hub has been quite active lately with discussions about AI, and I've been learning a lot and getting a lot of insights. The Medical Illustration Discord has been a hotbed of activity lately, people troubleshooting animation challenges together. It's really awesome.
When I interviewed Shizuka Aoki, she spoke about her collaborative projects at NatGeo, and in particular working with Fernando Baptista, and hearing about how such a highly successful and prolific creative professional welcomed the ideas of all the junior people on his team was just so inspiring. I see the same traits in successful and effective surgeons that I've worked with. The more welcoming you are of other people's point of view, the more ideas you generate, and the more people feel included. When people feel included as part of the process, the more value they stake in the success of that project. You know, this is like what I had mentioned from Steve Harrison's AMI speech in my last episode. It's the people in it that make any organization what it is. And when I look at what software companies have been doing in the past several years, the live streams put out by companies like Maxon and Pixelogic, they're a great example. You see everyone pushing this community spirit, and I do think this is going to be a lifeline for our survival. And that's what I'm going to try and lean into. I mean, obviously with this podcast, right? This stuff is moving so fast. It's fascinating. And to be fair, you know, we don't want to be jumping on a bandwagon of some trend like, you know, look how Bitcoin turned out for most people. Look how NFTs flopped, you know. But on the other hand, we don't want to refuse to update when new tools are available that can help us better achieve our goals. So let's be curious, a trait shared by good artists and good scientists alike. I'm definitely going to keep asking questions. I'm going to, you know, keep an open dialogue. I'm going to keep using tools that I enjoy, and I'm going to keep trying out new ones too. So here's what I'm going to leave with. I've touched on many updates from tech, legal, and art spheres. Well, what about the medical illustrations community specifically? Well, as medical illustrators, we are in the business of facilitating healthcare communication. We are visual problem solvers, and we focus that capacity on supporting clarity in medical and scientific messages. We help transfer knowledge. Nowhere in this role are we bound by any one specific tool or technique. It is our responsibility to find and utilize the most efficient and effective tools and techniques. The future of our profession will involve the use of AI tools. There is no denying that. We are also responsible for knowing the strengths, weaknesses, fidelity, and reliabilities of the tools we use. So more than ever, we are seeing an explosion of opportunity and a pressing need for trust. As long as we rise to meet those challenges, I believe our profession will continue to improve healthcare outcomes and catalyze advances in science and medicine. So until next time, stay positive, stay curious, and stay connected, my friends.